It was the Apostle Paul who said that. I'm the worst sinner I know. We've just sung it because it's true. We are also the worst sinners we know. But God's mercy is so great to us, and that is what we're celebrating, trusting in, and that is really the focus of the church back then in the book of Acts. It is, I pray, the focus for us today as well. You know, I was searching for some way to understand what this past year has not just been like historically, what you read in the headlines, but what it's felt like. And I think I found the answer in a visit to Waffle House. You ever been to Waffle House? One of the things I always get at Waffle House is hash browns. You go in to get your hash browns, and here's the perfect choice. Scattered, smothered, covered. Isn't that what this year has felt like? We have been so scatterbrained with all the stress, all the things to remember. How many times have I headed into the store and not had a mask on my face? Or how many times have I had two masks on because I wanted to make sure one of them was going to work? So much to try to balance, so much to try to remember, so much to navigate our way through. It's also been at times smothering. Haven't you felt that tickle inside there from that mask? Especially when the little fibers start to break loose and they're rubbing you on the bottom of your nose, you who have your cloth masks on, you're okay. You don't know. But the surgical ones, oy, what they do to us. And chunked, or scattered, smothered, and covered. Even with all of this oppressing over us, the fear, the worry, the wondering, will I get it? Will one of my family members get it? I hope we also remembered that even in our scattered and smothered states, we've been covered over by the love of God, by his angels guarding us in all of our ways, keeping us safe. Scattered and smothered and covered is also, I think, a pretty decent description for what the church was going through in this scene that we have here today. It starts off in these early chapters of Acts where the church is growing and everything's great. There are 3,000 people being added one day, 2,000 people the next. And then comes this moment when persecution starts. Starts off with Stephen before the Sanhedrin, before the Jewish council. This is before the Jewish Supreme Court, if you will. And he's on trial for his faith and for the Christian faith. He stands peacefully. He stands strong and firm. He speaks the word. And for that, we know that he loses his life. And then the church, it says after that, just to hear again from our old from our first reading that we heard from Milton, great persecution broke out from the church. Acts 8:1 tells us, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. It's a funny thing, getting scattered. You think we would get weaker, right? We're spread out more. We're not in touch as much. You would think after this past year, we who have been scattered, remember the weeks. I know we maybe have forgotten, but the weeks we didn't get together. It was just the phone that linked us, or just the videos. And when we were scattered by our circumstances, how much more different it was for them to be scattered by persecution. The Bible tells us, and this might surprise you, the Bible tells us don't be surprised that persecution will come. The Apostle Paul, the one who is at the beginning here in Acts, he was called Saul at the time. He's involved in this persecution. He's later transformed in a radical way by the grace and the presence of God. The Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, wants to make sure that the pastor following him and all of us who have followed him know this truth. Mark this. You see it there on the screen in 2 Timothy 3:1. Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. I am not a masochist. I doubt that you are too. I like my house with air conditioning, with locks on the doors. I like how many channels I can get on TV or the radio or a vacuum that works, a refrigerator that keeps my food and beverages cold. I like all of those things. They're very nice. But God tells us there will likely be times when all of that stuff won't work. We have experienced that here in Houston, in this part of the world, maybe more frequently than others in the Midwest or other places. When our hurricanes come, when our storms come and drench us, we can sometimes be without power for days, if not weeks. This is a different kind of season. This isn't just a natural storm. This will be a spiritual storm that's going to manifest itself in natural ways as human beings persecute the church. I hear quite a bit on the news, as maybe you do too, people worried about our spiritual liberties, our religious liberties being taken away from us. That may or may not be the start of this season of terribleness. But this season will come. The early church experienced it, and God is telling us that we, as his church in the last days, are likely to experience it whenever it is and whenever it really begins in earnest. We shouldn't be surprised. What I hope and pray we'll realize is that it wasn't just Paul who said this, but Jesus said it as well. He wanted us as his people to be equipped, to be aware of this persecution, this scattering that was likely to come. Here he says in Mark chapter 13, watch out that no one deceives you, because many are going to come in my name and they're going to claim I am he, and they will try to deceive many. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Here's where the persecution will rise as well. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. And you must be on your guard. Being on your guard doesn't mean preventing us from being persecuted. I believe being on our guard is being ready if and when persecution comes. I saw something that kind of disturbed me recently, and let me paint this picture for you. Person's pickup truck, tinted windows, great big cross right across the top of the window, beautiful cross, symbolizing that love, that symbol of God's grace and mercy and forgiveness for all of us. On the bottom left side, I guess you all would be left over here, the left side of his window, you know those stick figure families that people have on their trucks, right? Well, his stick figure family said, here's my family, an AK-47, a semi-automatic machine gun, a shotgun, a pistol, and another pistol. His American flag in the right-hand corner was made out of hand grenades for stars and long bullets for stripes. I'm not saying we can't have guns in America, but I am saying being on our guard, as this verse says, does not mean praise the Lord and pass the ammo. It means be on our guard, be ready, that your heart will know it's coming, that your mind will not give in to fear, and that we will not feel the need to defend ourselves in that moment. Now, understand this. If someone comes into my house to try to rob me, to take away the things in that refrigerator or all those niceties, I'll defend myself. But if someone comes after you or me to defend our faith, that's not the time for the world's weapons. It is instead the time for us to depend on the Christ who tells us we will be handed over to local councils, even perhaps flogged, and to be witnesses to them. Here's the big question that the church faced then, that you and I may face sooner, maybe later. But if and when we face persecution, what are we going to do? I think one of the first things to notice is what happened there in the book of Acts. On that great day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Here's a simple way to put it. If you can, if a persecution's coming, if you can, escape. Get away. People leave other nations around this world all the time trying to come to America or to other nations to try to have their freedom of their religion, of their faith, particularly Christianity. But there have been Christians who have fled persecution before. If we can, get away from it. It's funny how God so oftentimes uses such a thing as persecution to actually spread his church. Do you know the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is here today because of persecution that was happening back in Germany in the 1800s, and they said, we'd rather flee away from this persecution rather than stay here and suffer. We don't have to. Let's flee. And so this great church body came to be because of people who fled from persecution. But if you and I cannot flee, if there really is no place to go, we can't get away, it's happening too suddenly, if we can't, then I encourage we do what Stephen was willing to do. I encourage that we do what Paul is later willing to do under his trials and all the other apostles besides. If we can't flee, then let's stand and let's speak peacefully. Peacefully in the faith. That's what Jesus did. When he was on trial, he spoke peacefully. When Stephen was on trial, he spoke peacefully. Even when the crowd gnashed their teeth at him. It's funny, it doesn't say that Stephen went, right back to you guys. Why? Because he stood in peace. Because he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, who had suffered before him, who had said, blessed are you when you are persecuted, and when people say all kinds of evil and false things against you because of me, as we heard in today's gospel reading. He stood trusting the Heavenly Father is our defender. He's the one who will avenge us if there needs to be vengeance. He is our confidence. That was the confidence that the church had in Acts. It's the confidence we can have if and when persecution comes our way. I truly believe, as much as I respect the rights of the Second Amendment in our country and bearing arms and all of those things and do so myself, I don't believe that violent defense is something that Christians are supposed to choose. If we are being persecuted, not defending our own homes, but persecuted for our faith, violent defense is the weapons of this world, not the path of Jesus Christ. He's our defender. We trust him. We're told this. Jesus had these great words in Matthew chapter 10. I'm sorry, chapter 10, verse 33. I didn't put the reference on there. Do not fear those who can kill the body. They can't touch your soul. They can't touch your soul. They can't snatch you out of God's hands. They can't separate you from God's love. So let's not separate ourselves. Let's stay in his same character, his same spirit. Let's hear that Jesus tells us also, when you stand before those councils, as Stephen did, my spirit will give you the words to say. When they're gnashing their teeth at you, when they're taunting you, when they're trying to get you to forsake God, the Spirit will give you the words to say. It's also possible, just possible, that our peaceful resistance, our peaceful standing in on our faith as Christians for centuries have done, that our peaceful witness in the face of persecution may just change the hearts of our persecutors. You know those Roman soldiers who heard Jesus praying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, as he was being nailed to the cross and continuing to pray that? Those Roman soldiers had their hearts changed. They were the ones that said when he died, surely this man was the Son of God. I believe the Apostle Paul became the Apostle Paul because at some point he realized how wrong the persecution was. He saw the reaction of people. And then, of course, Jesus himself intervened and said, Paul, why are you doing this? Paul says, as we heard in the epistle reading, I did it in ignorance. I didn't understand, but the grace of God has been shown to me. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance. And that grace was shown. The grace will be shown perhaps to anyone who persecutes us as we stand the way Jesus stood, as we trust the Father the way Jesus did. May we remember that God will never let us go. May we remember he will never let anything separate us from his love. May we, if persecution's season comes to us, stand faithful with the church in the past, with the church of the future, the church triumphant. May we ever walk as Jesus did to his glory. Amen.